Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. And this is actually almost, we could consider it, part two of a program that George Marshall from the Rhode Island Film Festival and I did a little over almost 2 months ago. And George is back to do part two. Welcome back, George.
Thank you, Mike. Glad to be back.
Nice to have you back with us. We're going to be talking about Anthony Quinn and the movie music that made Anthony Quinn's career somewhat successful. And along with George, we have our special guest, the honorable, the talented, the very handsome, Stephen Feinberg is here.
You are such a liar. Good evening.
Good evening, Stephen. Welcome back. Stephen, of course, is with the Rhode Island Film and Television Department. And Stephen, for those that might not remember, I guess we've done three or four shows together now, but let's just do a little background on you. You work for the Rhode Island Film and TV Department. What does that entail?
The Rhode Island Film and Television Office is a state agency with the Department of Administration. We help out bringing large productions to Rhode Island. We work with our local filmmakers and help them hopefully sprout to have fantastic careers on a national and international basis. And we work with the film festivals, including the Rhode Island International Film Festival. And we have something called Give Me Five for student filmmakers. And really, it's our job to help all filmmakers attain their dreams, and we work very closely with the vendors in the state of Rhode Island as well, and it's a beautiful thing.
It's something we enjoy. It's a beautiful thing. And right now, if people are watching TV and seeing previews of movies to come out, there's a movie called Dumb and Dumber 2 where they can see scenes of Providence right on the trailers.
We did a lot of drone work, actually, for Dumb and Dumber 2. Where there were
some beautiful shots.
Yep, and those were all a lot of those were drone works, and then also some helicopter shots that were done and coordinated with our office. We just, you know, we did a movie with Mark Ruffalo and Zoe Saldana that's going to be coming out, Infinitely Polar Bear. We just wrapped a movie with Woody Allen, and the new movie with Aaron Eckhart and Katie Sagal is going to start on November the 10th, and that's called Bleed for This, and that's the true story of Vinnie Pazienza.
What a deal. What a country. See that? George, and you know him. He's your friend.
I know him, and he's still my friend. Absolutely. And he no matter how big he gets, he still talks to the small
folks. There you go. Last time I called him, he was on the phone with Robert Redford. I don't know what that was.
True. I remember that conversation. Yeah, it was right. So embarrassing.
I know. Now, George, of course, is the executive director of the Rhode Island International Film Festival, which we've talked about many times, and he was kind enough to come back. Stephen couldn't make it the last time you were here, and we wanted to do a kind of a
celebration. That's because he was meeting Robert Redford.
That's right.
We call him Bob.
We call him Bobby.
We don't, but he does.
Okay. But we were talking about Anthony Quinn and his phenomenal movie career, and we did the first half, and now we're going to do part two.
Well, let me give a brief background to why we're doing this. We're coming up on the centenary of Anthony Quinn's birth. He was born April 21, 1915, and he spent his last years in the state of Rhode Island. As a matter of fact, his widow, Catherine Quinn, still lives in Bristol. And a lot of his artwork is still around this area. They're trying to build a museum to commemorate his work. And we thought this would be a perfect thing. I mean, the guy did 148 films in the course of his career. A lot of them are so noteworthy and iconic that it just makes sense to pay homage to an artist who lent himself to creating a mystique that still exists today in terms of acting for the film. And his style, his approach has been replicated by so many people. And when you see his work today, it just stands out as just phenomenal.
And you mentioned you use the word artist, and we think of movie actor in that vein, but he also was a painter.
Painter, sculptor. He really was a Renaissance
man.
Thank you. Yeah, and if you and I, as I mentioned in our last session, if you go to Roger Williams University, you'll actually see some of his artwork on display at their Global Heritage Hall. It's just brilliant work, and Catherine has been good enough to lend that to the school. As we come to the 100th anniversary, we're planning on doing screenings throughout the state and special programming tied with our festival. We're working with Stephen on that, and we thought this would be kind of a fun thing to let a new generation discover this individual who just has not only a fabulous career, but also is very inspirational in terms of how he built himself, created his life, and fulfilled his dreams.
Right. All right. And we're going to get right to the music and start off with one of his older movies, and probably one of the most famous, The Guns of Navarone.
And this is Steven's thing to set up.
I love this movie. The Guns of Navarone, it was made in 1961. That's when the film came out. It was a large film at the time. I think the budget was maybe $5 million or so.
Which but, was huge for the time.
That time it was considered $6 million. $6 million budget.
Because I can remember we talked before the show. I can remember when I was a kid, $1 million movie was a big deal.
Right. And this was just a terrific movie. The score is by Dmitri Tiomkin, who did the scores of films like Red River and High Noon. And what they also did, and this was relatively new at the time, they brought in Mitch Miller to create a popular sound for the main title sequence. So because they realized that there was an opportunity to merchandise. And so that was why they brought in Mitch Miller. And I believe this song, I think it hit like the top 20 on Billboard charts at
and
the time.
And let me just add this. Mitch Miller had a very popular television program
Absolutely.
At that
right.
time.
Number one for quite a while. All right, we'll listen to Mitch Miller and the Gang. You can follow along on your radio dial, The Bouncing Ball, as the Gang sings from The Guns of Navarone.
Islands of Greece are green. Turns in a fisherman's skiff, headed for the cliff. Six men come to save 2,000 men, 2,000 men, the brave and the bold, for whom the bells have tolled. Six men come to scale. We'll be right back.
Following the Bouncing Ball. I should probably explain that. That was on the Mitch Miller television program. If you're under 55, you certainly had no prayer of probably watching that show. And they used to have the song title and then the words to the song right on the bottom of the screen and a bouncing ball telling you when to sing the right words.
Those were the days.
Those were the days, my friend. We thought they'd never end. Over to you, George.
Well, thank you. Well, the cool thing about Guns of Navarone, it was one of the most popular films of that period. And it was an action-adventure movie that I think we have seen replicated time and again, setting a standard for what is real adventure on the screen. Anthony Quinn was a lead figure in this with Gregory Peck. Irene Pappas, who would later appear with him in Zorba the Greek, which we'll talk about later. They just give phenomenal performances, and Stephen's going to set up what the next piece of music we're going to be hearing.
And you also had David Niven also, who was terrific.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Yes. But this is a great action movie set in World War II. There are these giant guns that are blowing up Allied ships. And so our saboteurs, who is our team, are now going to destroy these guns of Navarone. And it's a great sequence coming up, scored by Dmitry Tiomkin.
Called Mission Accomplished, and we will listen to that and then take a short break and be back with more of the Stephen and George Show.
We'll be right back.
We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, and we are sitting with Steven Feinberg and George Marshall, and we're reviewing some of the movies that Anthony Quinn did, starting out in his early film career. We just finished listening to The Guns of Navarone, and now we're on to another epic.
1962, David Lean's Lawrence of Arabia. The film is masterful in so many ways. It's about 4 hours in length. What was amazing about this film was that when you went to see it in a theater with a big screen, you actually felt that you were on location. It took a long time to make the film. Stephen can give you some background on it, but the thing that's cool about this, that Anthony Quinn's performance is still a bravura performance and stands out today as an example of just fine film acting.
Now, those were in the days when they actually had an intermission, so the theaters loved it. They sold twice as much popcorn.
Yes.
Yeah. This is true. But then there was a complaint from the distributors and the theater chains that they wanted films to be shorter because they wanted more turnover.
More turnover. See, yeah. So they sold more popcorn but less tickets.
Yes.
Yeah, so they won't be doing that anymore.
Right.
And it's ironic because, you know, that argument has become almost arcane when you look at films coming out from Peter Jackson. Look how long The Hobbit is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this is not just the extended edition. Most of these films, prestige films, are over 2 hours now.
Yeah. But you think, too, back in those days, families would dress up.
Sure.
It was an event. It was go out for dinner, and then the main event of the evening was going to the movie. And it was, for some, it was more of an upper class, especially those Saturday night big blockbuster movies. Those were special events.
Absolutely.
And those were the days when you actually had an overture before the film started. You had intermission music and you had exit music. Because they didn't have end credits that went on for 20 minutes.
Right.
With Easter eggs
movies. Who the best boy was in Lawrence of Arabia,
no.
Right?
Exactly.
No. Who was the best boy?
Who was the best boy in Lawrence of Arabia? All right. Well, that was a nice segue about Overture. We're going to go to that, right, Steven?
Fantastic. Yes, this is Maurice Jarre, who is relatively an unknown composer at the time. And this is a sweeping... I believe it was an award-winning score. It's obviously iconic now. Lawrence of Arabia.
Overture.
Yeah.
All right, now we're in the mood. We have that Lawrence of Arabia music. Of course, that was starring Peter O'Toole, correct?
That's correct. Actually, correct. His first major film that opened the doors for his career as well.
And the score we just listened to, the overture, was actually an award winner, Stephen?
Yes, it won the Academy Award for Best Original Score. And they called it at that time Substantial Score. Originals.
Substantial.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
What's unique about the film, too, is a very complex film. You could really say that Lawrence is an anti-hero. He's a flawed character.
Mm-hmm.
And as the film progresses, you discover the flaws. And depending on your age and how you perceive things, you can either see the film as just a massive epic or a much more complex social statement. The cool thing here is that Anthony Quinn's character is just stands out. Aside from the prosthetic nose that he has.
Now describe who Anthony Quinn played in this for those that might be of the generation that have never seen the movie.
Stephen, you want to talk about
it? Sure. He played the character of Ada Abu Taye, and who was a real character, a real person. And one of the stories that they tell is that when he first got into makeup, and Anthony Quinn was very much involved in doing the makeup based on what the real person looked like, when he met David Lean, the director, for the first time in costume, David Lean thought it was a native and had his assistant call up Anthony Quinn to tell him he wasn't going to have the role anymore. They were going to go with this guy.
Because they found a better-looking guy,
yeah.
Right?
But he's a really interesting character, and I think the next track that we're going to listen to is The Arrival at His Camp.
And the tagline that people associate with this character is, I am a river to my people.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There's the epic music from The Arrival, and now we're going to get even probably more epic.
I think Stephen should set this up.
Okay.
So this is there's a moment where they're trying to figure out how to change the tide of the war, and no one knows what to do, and then Lawrence goes and has a moment, and his moment, he is contemplating what to do, and it goes all night long, thinking, till finally he says, Aqaba. And they are now going to, after he says Aqaba, is now the attack on Aqaba. Now, this is a fictional point in the movie. They added this sequence. But
so there's no real Aqaba.
This sequence did not happen historically.
Real life. Okay.
So, but they added this moment, and it's very, very exciting. Attack on Aqaba.
He's been wanting to say that for the whole show.
That's why I told you he has to set this up.
To do it. All right.
I love this stuff.
We'll listen to Attack on Aqaba and then take a short break and be back with more. We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with George Marshall from the Rhode Island International Film Festival and Steven Feinberg from the Rhode Island Film and TV Department office. And we're talking about Anthony Quinn and his very, very successful movies. We started off with listening to some music from Guns of Navarone and then went to Lawrence of Arabia. And now, as they say,
we're heading into Zorba the Greek. The year is 1964. Now, Zorba is based on a very popular novel. And because it had an international readership, the film was very much anticipated. And I think what's cool about this film, it became a signature point for Anthony Quinn. It actually went into the on the Broadway stage as a musical that he starred in. Mm-hmm. But I'll let Stephen speak about the significance of Zorba and the music by Mikas Theodorakis.
I'm so glad he said Mikas Theodorakis before I did. I appreciate that. and then this, I believe the first track we're going to listen to is Zorba's Dance, which also... it was called Sirtaki. It came from, I guess, the Sirtaki.
I think there's, I had that sauce at Andrea's restaurant the other night.
Delicious.
Oh, that's a shameless plug.
but later on, this song or score or music was done by Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass and became very, very popular. And the nice thing about this movie was made... originally, it was for $450,000, and they were having all kinds of problems. The first actress that they had to play in the film, to play an older woman, she realized she couldn't do it because she had just married a younger guy, and so they got rid of her, and they brought another person on, and suddenly the budget had gone from $450,000 to $750,000, and they ran out of money or where to get the money, and Anthony Quinn called up Daryl Zanuck, who was heading 20th Century Fox, and said, "Look, man, I need some help. We need money." And Daryl Zanuck said, "You need $750,000. He said, "I have not read the script, but Tony, do you believe in this movie?" And Tony said, "Yes, it's about life. It's about life." He goes, "You will have that money tomorrow." He gave him $750,000 without even looking at the script.
Wow. Now, that's trusting. That's just, very trusting. I would be able to depend on you guys if I ever needed that kind of money. Just call.
We'll meet you at Andreas.
All right, here we go. This is Zorba the Greek and the dance song. Thank you. now that we're all dancing in the studio, it's great to watch George and Stephen dance the little Greek dance that you were doing. That was very nice.
Well, it was really nice. Stephen actually brought his horse in because they've been practicing. So it was kind of a squished
Stephen
location.
Stephen has horses, for those of you
one
who
horse,
don't know.
One horse. But it is a paddock of horses. I own one. And I will tell you, I don't care. I did it. After I bought this score, I played it in the paddock, and I danced to the score in front of the horses because I felt like it, and that's the whole concept of the movie.
And that security video is available for sale.
Actually, he made a point of giving it to Kathy Quinn, so she has blackmail information on
him. I did tell
her
that. I said, I don't care. That's the whole point of that movie, is living life and not caring what other people think, and just as long as you don't harm other people. But it's about living life. And that's what the essence, that movie will capture your soul. Mm-hmm. It really is that kind of movie. And I'm not just saying it. I mean, it resonated for a very long time with me, that movie.
And of course, you know, it transcended the film. I mean, it went on stage.
Right.
As a Broadway musical, which Quinn actually starred in. Hey, Stephen, would you tell folks the name of your horse?
Cruz, best horse in the world.
Cruz.
C-R-U-I-Z. I didn't name him. But
no problem with control?
There are times. There are times. He's in control. It's cruise control.
Well, there you go.
He is incredible.
All right. We're going to listen to another tune from Zorba. One more. And this is a short one. And this is kind of just like the theme that goes along with it.
This is the Zorba theme. Yes.
Right. You'll all recognize this one. An hour has gone by listening to great music from movies that Anthony Quinn was involved with, and coming up on the 100th birthday of Anthony Quinn in April.
April 21st.
And I want to thank George and Stephen for both coming in and helping us pay this tribute. And there's lots of things to learn about Anthony Quinn. He was an amazing individual.
A true Renaissance man, and folks don't know that. One of the things I'll just pass on, I'd ran a couple of the films in my class at Roger Williams, where I teach, and I asked them, what's his nationality? Actually, go to your parents, use your cell phone, text your parents, and say, what nationality? Nobody knew. They thought he was Greek. They thought he was Italian. They thought he was Russian. Nobody knew that he actually was from Mexico.
From Mexico, and as a matter of fact, you mentioned off-air that they still give an award for his honor.
I believe it's the Latin American Awards, and they give out an Anthony Quinn mm-hmm. Award every year, and it's for some outstanding work done by a Latin American, and very much supported by Kathy Quinn, the widow of Anthony Quinn, and they have a foundation, the Anthony Quinn Foundation. I think it's Anthony Quinn Foundation.org, but they are supportive of young artists in various fields, and they give them scholarships, and it's just a really positive support for the youth.
So check that out if this has brought back any memories for those old movies, and whether you were a Mitch Miller fan or a Guns of Navarone or Lawrence of Arabia or Zorba the Greek and literally 100 other movies plus, I think he did, what, 146?
148, actually.
148? Okay, so many, many movies to think about when you think about Anthony Quinn. So check out that website for the foundation. That would be a nice thing. And thank you both for coming in. Thanks, guys.
Mike, it's our pleasure.
Totally our pleasure.
And we'll look forward to having you back soon, maybe right after the first of the year. We'll talk about Oscar night. We'll talk about the Rhode Island Film Festival. We'll talk about movies coming to the state and television shows. And
there's a lot going on.
A lot of things happening, so we'll have to keep you posted. We're going to go out with one more piece of music, at least a portion of this piece of music. Tell us what this is.
This is the theme from La Strada, 1954. What's significant about this film is that it was the first film that gave Anthony Quinn major international recognition and opened the doors for him to be considered a leading man, not just someone in the background as a character actor. And the music is by Nino Rota. The film was directed by Federico Fellini.
We'll listen to just a piece of it, and then we'll see you next week on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.